Safadur Usfirmani, dear please straighten the rows, please fill in the gaps, ensure we're standing shoulder to shoulder. Mobile phones on silent, please ensure our trousers are above ankles. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the lessons of hadith from Riyadh al-Saliheen will take place. Hadith lessons will take place, inshallah. Brothers requested to participate, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. 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 ولا تزوق ربنا وعلي هذه تنعب لنا دعا وحيك أنت الحر من عمنا نصر 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 صلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. إن شاء الله brief lesson of hadith will take place. Brothers, inshallah, participate. Beneficial. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم باب الغضب إذا انتهكت حرمات الشرع والانتصار لدين الله تعالى Alhamdulillah, last week we started this chapter, Babul Ghadab, the chapter when a person should be angry if any of the commands of Shariat are broken. So if any of the commands of Shariat are broken, any of the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sanctified, honored, anything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted respect and sacredness to it, if anybody defies that, breaks that, then it is natural for a mu'min, for a believer, that they should feel anger in their heart. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be disrespected? How can His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be disrespected? How can the masjid be disrespected? How can the Kaaba be disrespected? How can the adhan be disrespected or mocked? How can Quran, hadith, anything attached to deen be disrespected? This is where a person should feel anger. And it's from iman. And the ayat will mention, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever honors the sha'air of Allah, the signs of Allah, that these are things from which a person recognizes Allah, knows Allah, it automatically there's a connection between it and Islam. Adhan, even a non-Muslim knows. It's a Muslim call to prayer. Anything, masjid, is a Muslim place of worship. He doesn't know nothing about it. He doesn't know anything about Islam, but he knows Muslim call. So this is sha'airuddin, sha'airullah. The signposts of Islam, the signposts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from which, or the landmarks from which a person can know that this is connected with Islam. So honoring these things, having, you know, respect for these things is from the qualities of iman. So we did one or two hadith. So inshallah today I'll complete this chapter.
وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن قريشا أهمهم شأن المرأة المخزومية التي سرقت، فقالوا من يكلم فيها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ فقالوا من يجترئ عليه إلا أسامة بن زيد حب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فكلمه أسامة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتشفع في حد من حدود الله تعالى؟ ثم قام فاختطب ثم قال إنما هلك من قبلكم أنهم كانوا إذا سرق فيهم الشريف تركوه وإذا سرق فيهم الضعيف أقاموا عليه الحد. وإيم الله لو أن فاطمة بنت محمد سرقت لقطعت يدها. متفق عليه.
So this hadith is narrated by Umm al-Mu'mineen Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the Quraysh, they were very concerned because a lady, a noble lady, an honorable lady from amongst them had stolen. And her name was Fatima, Fatima al-Makhzumiya, radiallahu anha. She was a sahabiya as well. Later she made tawbah from her mistakes, and she was very sincere and very steadfast upon her iman. So this Fatima, this lady from the Quraysh, she stole something. And this case was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam established a had upon her. Had is the capital punishment, which, if it's a Islamic governance, then in that the capital punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned or stipulated certain punishments which are there to ensure that these crimes are eradicated, these crimes don't happen. They're known as the hudud, hududullah, the capital punishments or the laws that Allah Ta'ala has stipulated. And one of them is the thief, if they steal a certain item of significance, then their hand is cut. From there, it's just to eradicate stealing. So people find stealing to be something which you don't even go near. Similarly, there's a haddul qadhaf, the had of accusing a woman of adultery without any, you know, proof or evidence. Then you have the haddul zina, the had of if you know those people who engage in zina, adultery, marital relations outside of marriage. Then you have the haddul khamr, the person who drinks, the had capital punishment is carried out on them. All of these few hudud have been stipulated by Allah Ta'ala. They're not something that is man-made. This is something Allah's laws. Allah's laws have to be given the greatest degree of importance. They can't be mocked, they can't be undermined. Allah Ta'ala is the one who's in control of our hearts, control of our bodies, control of our lives. If we start mocking and if we start taking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lightly, there'll be chaos. Allah's adab will come now. So the Anbiya alayhim salam, they were so considerate and so careful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, this is the law of Allah Ta'ala, it has to be carried out exactly the way that Allah Ta'ala wants it to be carried out. So similarly, as believers, as Muslims, wherever Quran Allah Ta'ala has mentioned,
Hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned. Or the fuqaha, the ulama, the scholars, on the basis of Quran and Hadith, they've said this is halal, this is haram, this is makruh, this is disliked, stay away from it. Automatically we give it the greatest deal of importance. We don't say, oh, you know, this alim saying it, but I know another alim, you know, I've got another one on my speed dial, he's going to say it's alright, don't worry. Picking and choosing, taking deen to be some kind of mockery, very light matter, it's not a big deal. You know, so sometimes like today in madrasa we're talking about, you know, haircuts, right? Saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an authentic hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba say, naha anil qaza'i. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade and prohibited, and he said it's haram, you should not do it. Qaza', what is qaza'? The fuqaha say, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, other commentators they say, an yatruka ba'da ra'si sabiyyi wa yahliqa ba'dahu. That what you do is, you shave off part of the head and you leave part of the head. So this is called qaza', where you've got part of the head shaven and part of the head which has hair on it. This is called qaza'. Now in any way or any form where you have someone who's shaving a part of the head where you can basically see the skin, and from another part they've got hair, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade it. So I say it's okay. So I was explaining to the children, one of the boys said, but I've heard it's just makruh, it's not a big deal. So I said, you've heard it's makruh because you want to hear that. You know, we want to hear that. We want to hear someone saying it's okay. Whatever we do, we want someone to say it's okay, don't worry about it. You know, and when we hear something which is out of our comfort zone, and we hear, you know, we have to change the way we were used to doing certain things, we don't want to do it. But what happened when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed everyone, eat with your right hand, drink with your right hand, don't eat with your left hand, don't drink with your left hand, because shaitan eats and drinks with his left hand. One person, he said, I can't do it. My whole life I've been eating with my left hand, what today I'm going to just change and start eating with my right hand, what's this all about? He didn't say in all those words, but this is what his attitude was. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam automatically said, well, you're never going to be able to. Lasta ta'ada. And from then, his right hand became paralyzed, and he was never able to, actually, even if he wanted to, he wouldn't have been able to do it. So it's that, you know, the attitude that, you know, I'm not bothered. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Well, what's going to happen if you eat from here, if the food is going into your mouth? You know, rationalizing things. Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, we're the mere creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will come, we will go. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be so much reckoning and accountability to be given. And what we need to be, it's always stay in the safe zone. Safe zone is Allah said it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it, I'm safe here. Why am I going to put myself in a dangerous zone? On the day of Qiyamah, I'm already going to have to answer for so many things. Here, on purpose, you know, audaciously, I'm saying, it's fine, it's not a big deal. I know someone who, on TikTok who said it's alright. I know someone on Instagram who said it was fine. Yeah. So, this case was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this Qurayshi lady, Fatima, she's stolen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look, the had has to be carried out, which is the hand has to be amputated. So now the Quraysh were very concerned, because she was a noble lady. She was from a very high, if it was an ordinary woman, they wouldn't have been that bothered. But she was from a high-ranking background and tribe and family lineage. So they said, مَنْ يُكَلِّمُ فِيهَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وسلم. Who's going to go to Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم and intercede on behalf of this lady? That, please, you know, can we just, let's go maaf kar do, you know. Leave this one. Do it on everybody else, but just this one lady, just overlook it. What we call sifarish, you know, like when you're interceding. Just let this one slide. فَقَالُوا مَنْ يَجْتَرِئُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا أُسَامَةُ بْنُ زَيْدٍ حِبُّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وسلم. So they said, who will be able to do this? Who will have the guts or the audacity to be able to go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and talk about something so sensitive, except for the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Usama bin Zayd. So subhanAllah, Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd, from here automatically we understand Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's close attachment and muhabbat for Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. He was the son of Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially made him mutabanna. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him his adopted son. But then after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can't be the father of any of you. So then Nabi said, from that, before that he was called Zayd bin Muhammad. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him his adopted son. He was called Zayd, the son of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after that time, after Allah ta'ala said, no, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can't be the father of any of you, he was called Zayd bin Haritha. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had so much love for him. And then there was another lady who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had so much love for. Her name was Barakah. Barakah. But she would go by the name Ummu Ayman radiyallahu anha, who was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's the lady who looked after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was a child. She was the maid of Sayyidatuna Amina, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she would look after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when they were traveling, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 6 years old and they were traveling to Medina Munawwara on the way back, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother Amina passed away in a place called Abu'a and she was buried there, Ummu Ayman brought him back to Makkah Mukarramah and she looked after him. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became older, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would address her and say, Ya Ummi. He would call her, Oh my mother, Ummu Ayman. And she was an Abyssinian slave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, once initially Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beloved, you know, initially adopted son, he was initially married to Sayyidatuna Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha, and their marriage didn't work out. After their marriage didn't work out and the marriage was dissolved, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Zayd, I've got a marriage proposal for you. If you accept it, I guarantee you Jannah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what is it? He said, I want you to get married to Ummu Ayman. Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha said, Happily I accept. So Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha got married to Sayyidatuna Ummu Ayman, the two beloved, very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from them, their child was Usama bin Zayd. And that's why Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd was in the sight of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the eyes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would show the same muhabbat to Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd, sometimes more muhabbat and love and affection to Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd than he would show to Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu. He would grab Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd, he would hug him, he would kiss him, he had so much muhabbat for him. So everybody knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him. Everybody knew that Sayyidina Usama can say whatever he wants in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they said, you know, we need to find someone who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's got a soft spot in his heart for, you know. If he says anything, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will accept it. So who is there better than Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَكَلَّمَ أُسَامَ سَيِّدْنَا أُسَامَ رضي الله عنه said, that's fine, I'll go. He went and he spoke to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتَشْفَعُ فِي حَدٍّ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى Have you come to intercede, to do sifarish in one of the hudud, one of the capital laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is not a matter of discussion. This is something Allah Ta'ala has ordained. Allah Ta'ala says, this is what you have to do. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it wasn't something he was comfortable with carrying out the Hajj. We find in many narrations where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would delay it, he would defer it. He would say, come back later, come back later, come back later. He's not saying no, he's saying come back later. It's like, you know, if it's out of sight, out of mind. But those sahaba, subhanallah, their iman. When one lady came and she said, Ya Rasulullah, I've committed zina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go back and wait and check if you are expecting. She went back, came back, Ya Rasulullah, I'm expecting. Go back until you give birth. She came back, Ya Rasulullah, I've given birth now. Please carry out the had on me. I did zina and I was married. This is the capital penalty. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go back and raise your child until he's at age where, you know, he doesn't need his mother. Then come back. She did it. Every time she did it, because she said, this is my tawbah. This is my tawbah. Subhanallah, when one lady, the had was carried out upon her, and a drop of blood from her went onto the body of one of the sahaba, and he reacted in a way that he didn't like it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be very careful. This lady has made such a firm tawbah, if her tawbah was distributed amongst the people of Medina, then it would be enough for everybody. Imagine. Subhanallah. So this is why the had, the sahaba, they would rush, please Ya Rasulullah, carry out the had on me. I don't care. Carry out the had on me. I want Allah Ta'ala to forgive me. I want to have nothing left upon. I want to have a clean slate on the day of Qiyamah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is this something that you're interceding for in regards to the had? ثُمَّ قَامَ فَاخْتَطَبَ Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he delivered a khutbah, a sermon. And in there he said, إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ Those people who came before you, Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. Because أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمُ الشَّرِيفُ تَرَكُوهُ Because whenever any noble person, anyone from a high status in society would steal, they would leave him. They say, it's okay. Now you're free to go. وَإِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمُ الضَّعِيفُ أَقَامُوا عَلَيْهِ الْحَدِ Whenever a weak person, a lower ranking person in society would steal, they would establish the had upon him. So if they would pick and choose, and the Banu Israel would do this, they were famous for this. And sometimes they wouldn't even see this ayat, it doesn't exist in the book for some people. And for other people, the ayat is the first thing, you know, they would look at. So it's making deen about you, and about your preferences, and about, this person, you need to hear this, and for this person it's okay, maaf. And many times it would be for those, for the people of wealth, for people of nobility, for people of higher status. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَيْمُ اللَّهِ I make Allah my witness. It's like saying, I take a qasam by Allah Ta'ala. لَوْ أَنَّ فَاطِمَةَ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدٍ سَرَقَتْ. If Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stole, لَقَطَعْتُ يَدَهَا. I would cut off her hand. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, لَأَقَامُ عَلَيْهَا الْحَدِ. I would establish the had upon her. He said it in very crude terms. I would cut off her hand to show this is Allah's laws and nobody can, you know, everybody has to take it very seriously. Allah Ta'ala has said, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. So here again, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah is brought here to highlight. When it comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so kana bil mu'minina rahima, so merciful, so loving, ra'ufun, rahimun. These qualities Allah Ta'ala himself describes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. One is, I say I'm a soft person. One is, Mawlana Ibrahim says, I'm a soft person. One is Allah Ta'ala, who is the alim, who is allamul ghuyub, who knows the heart, says this person is a soft person. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran says Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ra'uf, rahim. He's so soft, he's so affectionate, he's so, a soft person, an affectionate person finds these things very hard. They find them very hard. Violence, you know, anything where it is, you know, any form of what we ourselves would find difficult to wouldn't find palatable. Someone very soft, very affectionate would find these things very hard. So it was very hard for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but when he came to the law of Allah Ta'ala, no, Allah Ta'ala's law has priority. Last hadith, inshallah, of the chapter 1, Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ra'a nukhamatan fil qiblati, fashakka thalika alayhi hatta ru'ya fi wajihi, faqama fahakkahu biyadihi, faqala inna ahadakum idha qama fi salatihi, fa'innahu yunaji rabbahu. وإن ربه بينه وبين القبلة فلا يبزقن أحدكم قبل القبلة ولكن عن يساره أو تحت قدمه ثم أخذ طرف ردائه فبصق فيه ثم رد بعضه على بعض فقال أو يفعل هكذا متفق عليه. This next hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Anas bin Malik رضي الله تعالى عنه that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saw some نخامة, some phlegm. نخامة, there's two words in Arabic, نخامة and نخاعة. Nukha'a and Nukhama. So they say, I think the one from the brain is called Nukhama, and from the stomach is called Nukha'a. The two words in Arabic. Phlegm. You know, the green which comes out from the nostril. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw some phlegm in the direction of the Qibla, the front of the masjid. In the masjid. And remember, we would say, who would spit in the masjid? Masjid, beautiful red carpet. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no red carpet. It was just soil, it was earth. It was earth. There was just a structure, which was the masjid, which was built. But it was earth. There was no carpet. There was nothing. When it would rain, rainwater would fall into the masjid. The floor would become muddy. There were pebbles. There were stones. Cats and dogs, they would come, run around and then leave. Right? So someone who didn't know better would just think it's just normal earth. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this phlegm in the masjid. فَشَقَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَيْهِ. And this weighed very heavily upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. حَتَّى رُؤِيَ فِي وَجْهِهِ. Until it could be seen in his face, the effects of it. Other narrations mention, إِحْمَرَّ وَجْهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face became very angry. فَقَامَ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up. فَحَكَّهُ بِيَدِهِ. He scratched it and scraped it off with his own hands. He removed it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his own Mubarak hands. فَقَالَ. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ. Whenever any of you is standing in salah, فَإِنَّهُ يُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ. He's having a private conversation with his Rabb. It's a private sargoshi, private communion conversation with his Lord. وَإِنَّ رَبَّهُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْقِبْلَةِ. And his Rabb is between him and between the direction of Qibla. Now physically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not physically anywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have a jism like we do have a jism, you know, like a physical body. But Allah ta'ala is there, meaning Allah ta'ala is directly addressing you. Allah ta'ala is directly in front of you. Allah ta'ala is directly focused towards you. Yeah, so when we perform salah, you know, people say, نَوَيْتُ أَنْ what do they say? نَوَيْتُ لِلَّهِ تَوَى نَوَيْتُ أَنْ what do they say? Another one. No, so the other one. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي. Huh? إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. I am directing my face and my attention towards the one who created the heavens and the earth. So Allah Ta'ala is directly in front of me. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, look, whenever you are standing in front of Allah, it's as if you are standing in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So فَلَا يَبْزُقَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ قِبَلَ الْقِبْلَةِ. No one should spit in the direction of the Qibla. ولكن عن يساره أو تحت قدمي. Rather, if one is to spit, one needs to spit, they should spit on their left side, or they should spit under their feet. and rub it under their feet. Now this, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi and others, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi and others have mentioned, this is obviously not to do when you've got a carpet. It is the soil. If the masjid is soil, like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid, then the carpet, because at the end of the day, phlegm, and all of the ulama agree, phlegm and saliva, this is tahir, it's pure, it's pak. It's not napak, it's not impure. So if it was soil or something and someone did it on the left side of the soil, then it's not a problem. They did it under their feet and they rubbed it so that there's no traces or effects left of it, then that's fine. But in a masjid where it's carpeted, of course, we wouldn't do that anyway. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thumma akhadha tarafa ridaihi. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the edge of the shawl that he was wearing, fabasaqa fihi, and he put his blessed saliva into that, and then thumma raddahu ba'dahu ala ba'din. And then he scraped it like this, so the effects of it are gone. And then he said, aw yaf'alu hakadha. Oh, he can do this. Oh, he can do this. So if there's nowhere, and sometimes a person, there is phlegm and it's really causing them, I realized I'm coughing recently, sometimes it's a phlegm buildup, you have to clear it. Once you clear it, our ustaz, you know, nowadays obviously, we all find everything so gross, 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 gross. You know, everything's gross. But our ustaz in madrasa, they'd all have, you know, I think they call it spittoon. You know, they'd have one there. And just constantly, the straw would clean up and they'd spit in there. And we would take and we would clean it for them. We would clean it for them, we would put it back. And then, so sometimes it builds up and it has to be spat out, especially all these phlegm, etc., balgam, as they call it in Urdu. Especially when a person is not feeling well, it is important to remove it and get rid of it. So this is what you should do. So anyway, again, the point, the reason why Imam Nawawi rahmatullah is brought here is to show Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's anger. That look, you people are disrespecting the Qibla, disrespecting the direction of Qibla. So last week I was mentioning, everything in deen is sacred. Anything attached, look, the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not physically present there, but because this is the direction that you are facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why many of the commentators of hadith, Ibn Battal and many others have mentioned, that's why we have to be so careful of the direction of the Qibla. Don't do anything which can be disrespectful towards it. That if there was someone honorable and respectful and noble, imagine your father was in front of you, or someone that you honor and respect was in front of you, the way you would behave with them and your body language and your interaction with them, that should be your interaction with the direction of the Qibla. Just a general, not even when you're in salah, just normally. So last week I was talking about not even putting your feet out there. If your dad was sitting in front of you, putting your feet out there would be so disrespectful. Nowadays there's none of this, right? Children do all kinds of stuff. I remember a Pathan friend of mine mentioning, oh, he was talking about his granddad. He was when my father, there were seven brothers, yeah, he's from Bradford, mashallah, very Pathan, very Jalali Pathan. And he's saying, my dad, he was a father of seven children, and I remember sitting in the living room, and once, accidentally, he put his feet towards my granddad. My granddad got up and smacked him. And he's a man, and he's a, you know, father of seven children. My granddad couldn't tolerate why his son accidentally put his feet, and my dad just put his head down and accepted. There's adab, you know, they had adab, they had respect, it was instilled, you know, this discipline. Nowadays, none of this, no respect. Father, you speak to him however you want, you behave with him however you want, you don't, you know. The point is, someone, this is the way the Qibla should be honored and respected. You should not spit towards it, should not put your feet towards it. So from here we understand, if the Qibla, direction that we are facing in Salah should be honored, everything else which is connected with Deen should be honored. Quran, Allah's Kalam. So teach our children, you're reciting Quran, once you finish, hold it to your chest like this. No? My son does it, he starts doing all this stuff with the Quran. So put it to your chest, kiss it. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, every time he'd pick up the Qur'an, he would kiss it. He'd put it to his head, and then he would put it to his chest. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, adab, everything of deen. Alhamdulillah, we're so fortunate, our teachers, especially from the Indian subcontinent, had such an emphasis on adab. Adab. Everything, ad-deenu kulluhu adabun. And all the mentions, what are the things? You know, all these quotations that they would mention. Everything is about adab. A person who does not have adab does not get anything. In Urdu, be adab be nasib. Ba adab ba nasib. And they would mention any honor and respect, honor and respect. And subhanAllah, I came across a malfuz of Sayyidina, of Hazmar Ilyasab rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazmar Ilyasab rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that two things on the day of Qiyamah, this is very powerful. He said there'll be two things on the day of Qiyamah because of which a person will be successful. We'll find it very easy. The first thing is because of how much adab and ihtiram and respect he had for deen and anything connected to deen. And then Marana mentioned the masjid, he mentioned the qibla, he mentioned the Qur'an, he mentioned the ulama. That anyone who is, anyone or anything who is connected to deen, just having respect for that in your heart will be the first reason why so many people, just like Urdu mein kehte hain na, unka jo hai bera paar ho jayega. just because of respecting the things connected to deen. And the second thing is because of huquq al-ibad, and, you know, fulfilling the rights of other people. So one can do these two things properly, it will be the very easy hisab on the day of Qiyamah. Honoring everything of deen, people of deen, the things of deen, you can't disrespect it. I can't open my mouth against it. I have to have love and I have to have affection for it. SubhanAllah, so many stories we were told. Sayyidina Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi, one occasion he was walking and he saw a piece of paper on the floor which had the name of Allah Ta'ala upon it. Sayyidina Bishr Hafi rahmatullahi, this is before he became Bishr Hafi, a great saint of Allah. He picked it up, he perfumed it, and then he put it high up. And on the basis of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him and he became Bishr Hafi, a great saint of his time. Another incident our scholars would mention is there was this person, he was in a room and he was sleeping and there was a Quran there. And he thought, well, should I put the Quran? If I put it that way, my feet are going to be towards there. If I put it that way, I find it disrespectful because, you know, different things he was thinking. Then he spent the whole night just holding the Quran in his hand because he didn't want to show any kind of disrespect towards it. So it's something we have to take very, very, very seriously. Adab, 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 ta'zeem. You know, ta'zeem, honoring. Anything to do with deen, the people of deen, a hafiz of Quran, a alim of deen, honoring them. Not because they're asking to be honored, but because these people are connected with deen. And those people who honor them, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives these people everything. I always remember Hazrat Mawlana Salim Sahib, Hafizahullah, mentioning that my father was not an alim, but my father was so particular about honoring huffaz and ulama. So particular. To the extent that after I became, I think, a hafiz or alim, so when I returned home, I would see my father, he would not even put his feet towards me, he would put it the other way. Because I am now hafiz of Quran, the Quran is in my heart. And subhanAllah, all the work of deen Allah is taking from me is because of the respect my father had for the Quran and for the huffaz and for the ulama. That's why Allah Ta'ala is taking work from me today. He would connect that with that, connect the dots. So inshallah, we are all ready to do this. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, Allah give us the correct understanding, subhanAllah. Thank you.